everybody. Amen. This is the day, and I will. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Time, the blood, everybody say the blood.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Come on, way back. Something when you're up here, you can feel it, amen. But I just, one of the things that helps you get the distractions out the way is when you focus on the right things, amen. Like he talked about, we have to focus on, set our mind on the right thing. And this morning, we started off focusing that, listen, we had something to focus on, and that was the precious blood of Jesus. And that is why we're here today. We're celebrating, we're thankful for his blood, that we can stand here today debt-free and that we can be at peace with God. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. That a lot of times, the things that get us peace sometimes are the things that are on our mind. But we thank God that we serve, that we have the one who is the Prince of Peace. He gives peace that passes what? All understanding. And if he's inside of you, what does that mean? You can be at peace today. Amen. We thank God for the peace of God this morning. I just want to say good morning, and in the words of our Pastor Mac, it's good to see your lovely faces this morning. Amen. I'm excited. I don't know, as pastor here, I'm excited about what God is doing. Yesterday, we had a wonderful time. I want to give it up for Sister Tanya Fuller. Praise God for Sister Tanya Fuller. For those who came out to our spiritual gift class, how we discover your shape. Amen. About seven or eight people here yesterday. And man, I'm going to tell you, when I left there, it was so good. We're going to have to come back and do it again because we couldn't finish it all. But it was so good. The content of that material was so awesome. And when I left so excited because I said, every Christian and every church needs to hear this stuff. discovering your shape, your spiritual gift, how God has wired you and designed you for ministry, for life. And I'm going to tell you, when you know your shape, it brings everything else into so much clarity. And I encourage you, the next class, even if you missed the first one, I want you to come out to the next one. You can pick up where we started, where we left off. And if you missed the first part, you just come around for when we start again. But I'm going to tell you, every Christian, if you're here and you come to church anywhere, if you belong here, if you belong somewhere else, you need to have that information. Amen? I mean, it's convicting, it's challenging, it's encouraging, it's enlightening. For all of you who came, I'm pretty sure you would agree with me about that. So I encourage you, the next time, we will definitely let you know when that is forthcoming. Amen? About how you are wired for ministry. It was a fun time yesterday. And we've been, this morning, we're going to be continuing and pretty much wrapping up. I think we're going to be wrapping up. It depends if we got enough time. We're not going to necessarily rush through it. If we have time, thank God March has 5 Sundays in it, so we can do one more if we don't finish this morning. Amen? But we've been talking about this series, Uncensored, Real Talk about Love, Sex, and Relationships. And before I start, can I open this up in a word of prayer? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word has something to say about every aspect of our life. Lord, from marriage to singleness to dating, whatever it is, God, you've got principles and precepts that we can abide by, Lord God. And we pray that we don't be just hearers of your word, but that we be doers of your word. Lord, challenge us to change. Lord, we don't need more information, but we need transformation. So change us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, I just also wanted to encourage you guys to come out on Wednesday night. This past Wednesday, we just had a powerful time of prayer. God moved in that place on Wednesday night. And we prayed, because how many know, we just need prayer. Sometimes we don't need more information. And God just laid on our hearts to just have a season of prayer. And the saints, we just prayed. And when we thought we were finished, we weren't finished. And God moved, and we're looking forward to God doing some great and mighty things. Amen? Amen. Because we need prayer for our relationships. We need prayer for our marriages. We need prayer to know how to be the right kind of single person. And that's what we've been talking about. And we started this series way back about, this is our fourth week. And our first week, Pastor Larry Page came, and he talked to us about being naked and unashamed. And he took us to the book of Genesis and looked at Adam and Eve. And he was telling us, first, you got to know your fame. You got to understand who God has designed you and wired you to be. And once you know your fame, you got to understand the game. The Satan is crafty. He's a deceiver, and he tries to get us off on this thing about sex and relationships. So you got to understand the game. And then finally, he told us we need to worship through shame. When you mess up, you praise God through the shame. Don't try to hide from him, because he can see us anyway. And then week two, we talked about a topic that doesn't get talked a lot about in church. We talked about how to be a satisfied single. We talked about living single. Any single people in here today? Any single folks? There's some single folks in here. And guess what? You know, you don't need to be ashamed to be single. Being single, a lot of times in church, singleness, everybody's trying to get single folks to be married. But when we looked at the Bible and we saw what Paul was talking about singleness, he said, listen, singleness is a gift, being married is a gift, and you got to maximize the moment. You got to maximize right where you are. So we talked about being a satisfied single, that as a single person, you need to surrender your life to God. That's the first thing. As a single person, it's a time for you to identify your gift. It's a time for you to identify your gift, improve your gift, and then invest your gift. As a single person, you need this time to begin to network with people of like mind. Get together with people of like mind. And then once you understand your gift, you need to get busy serving other people. And then as you get busy serving other people, it's so important as a single person, before you get God brings anybody into your life, you got to love yourself. He said you should love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love God, love yourself, then love your neighbor. And you love yourself not because of who God has made you to be. You got to love yourself. And then finally, the last thing we told our singles is to enjoy life right where he's placed you. Listen, God is telling in Ecclesiastes that you got to enjoy these moments and maximize the moments. So we talked about how to be a satisfied single. And then last week, we talked about a fatal attraction. We were talking about how to avoid an affair. Because, you know, the devil hates marriage. What he wants to trip you up as a single. Then once she gets married, he wants to trip you up after you get married. He does not ever stop his game. And so there's a fatal attraction, and we got to avoid the fatal attraction. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, says he will not allow you to be tempted above that you can handle or to bear, but he will take the temptation and provide you a way of escape. He said he'll provide you a way of escape. So we talked about last week of that way of escape, that how do you can avoid temptation. And it's so important that if you want to avoid temptation, you got to embrace God's standard for marriage and purity. You got to embrace God's standard. Then we said that what you got to do, you got to spice up your intimacy in your own marriage. Don't let it go dry. You got to keep a clean mind. You got a clean mind. You got to avoid tempting situations. You got to make sure that you put up boundaries. And then finally, you got to keep your eyes on the consequences. So that's where we've been the last 3 weeks. And this morning, what we're going to be talking about, we talked about one of the points last week. Our second point was spicing up the intimacy in your marriage. And I alluded to the fact that this week that I might be dealing with some of these things a little bit today. And what we're going to be talking about today is how to keep your tank full. How to keep your tank full. And essentially what we're going to be dealing with is his needs, her needs. There's an author by the name of Willard Harley, and he wrote a book called His Needs, Her Needs, and how to avoid affairs in your marriage. And when you look at these things, so this material is not all the way original. Amen. God has put some good people in the body to give out some good information, and sometimes it's all right to rip off and duplicate. Amen. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're going to look at five of the greatest needs of him and her this morning. Because God has designed marriage to be a beautiful thing. And it's so funny. I thought this would be a really funny thing to show. It may not have anything to do with our topic this morning. But I want to play this video of marriage and how when you, on your wedding day, how excited you can be and how you're looking forward to what God is doing. So, Sister Tanya, could you play the video? Can someone play it, put the video up for, y'all don't have my video up? Y'all don't have the, okay. All right. There we go. Can you play the video for me? We're going to come back to the video, okay? We're going to come back to the video. But we got a video that shows you how exciting and funny and how you can anticipate how the beautiful the marriage relationship will be. But as they're getting the video off, there's a movie out right now that's called What Men Want. How many of y'all have seen that movie? Anybody seen the movie, What Men Want, Taraji? Y'all haven't seen it? Y'all seen the previews for What Men Want? So there's a movie out by Taraji P. Henson right now. She's starring in the movie called What Men Want. And it's a remake of a movie that was done back in 2000 by Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt called What Women Want. It's just a redo of the same movie. And it's so funny to look at about what people think, you know, each other need. And this morning, these principles apply to married people as well as to single people. Because listen, you as a single person need to be preparing yourself. If you want God to bring the kind of right man into your life, being prepared to be the kind of woman, the kind of man that God would have you to be. Amen? Amen. So hopefully at the end of the message that we will get to our video. So this morning what we're going to do ladies first. Ladies first. All of the ladies, let me hear you say, ladies, are you here? All the ladies, listen, look, okay, now some of you don't know. I'm a fan of go-go music, okay? And so sometimes, every now and then, if you're at a show, they'll say, all the ladies in the house, let me hear you say, I'm going to say, ooh-wee. All the ladies in the house, let me hear you say, ooh-wee. Oh. All right, ladies, we're going to start with you. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is we're going to talk about what her needs are. And before we do that, let's go in our Bible to 1 Peter. I want you to turn into 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Because it's very important that as a man, you know what the needs of a woman are, that you know if you're a married man, that you know what the needs of your wife are, because all of us have what's called an emotional tank. That's why I talk about keeping our tank full. All of us have an emotional tank. And some of this information you may have gotten marriage counseling and at some point. But the key in your marriage to avoid affairs like we talked about last week is to avoid that fatal attraction is you got to keep your tank full. You need to keep your spouse's tank full. And these are some principles that we're going to adopt so that we can keep that full. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in the same way, verse 7, I'm going to look at verse 7, says in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. If you don't treat her as you should, what does it say? Your prayers will not be heard. That's big, y'all. It's like a statement that says, if mama ain't happy, what? Ain't nobody happy. And if I'm busy, listen, not making sure that I'm meeting her needs, the needs that God has given her, then the God said, you need to get up off your knees and do what you and take care of your responsibility. And what are those needs? We're going to look at five of these needs, and they're not necessarily in rank order. Actually, they may be. I think I listed them backwards from 5 to 1. And the first thing that she needs, what her needs are, she needs a never-ending commitment to family. She needs you as a man to have a never-ending commitment to your family. Family first. God first, then family. You got to have a never-ending commitment to your family. What does that mean? What does that commitment to family look like? It means, number one, like we talked about last week, that you're faithful to your spouse. It means that you're faithful to your spouse. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, we looked at this scripture last week, said the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys his own soul. A man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys his own soul. You need to have a never-ending, a never-wavering commitment to your family. It means you're faithful to your wife. Number two, it means that you share in the parenting responsibilities. We were away at a conference the end of last month, and we had a session that we went to that was on marriage, And that we played this game called Fair or Foul. And in the game Fair or Foul, the guy who was leading the session, he put up a video about a couple that the man, and it's a celebrity, that says he has absolved his responsibility of taking care of the children. Anything that does with the children, he wants nothing to do with it. He gives all of that to his wife. He'll take care of everything else, but listen, he absolves that and he gives all, he declines that and gives all that to his wife. And the guy was saying, is that fair or foul? Is that a good thing? And some people said, I think that's okay, because he knows he's not responsible. So he's saying, listen, this is not my deal, so you handle it. And I raised my hand. I said, foul! Because, listen, as a man, what you got to do is that God has given us the responsibility to raise our children, to train our children. Let's look at the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, and now a word to you who? Fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. As a man, God has given me the responsibility. That commitment to my family means I share in the parenting responsibilities and raising my children and taking care of my children if you have them. The next thing as far as a commitment to family means that you are the spiritual leader of your home. I am the spiritual leader of the home. Ladies, this is a need, brothers, this is a need that ladies have for you to lead. You need to be not just the provider, but the priest in your household. And what that means for you ladies, since that is a spiritual need, that should go a long way into who you choose to date. Who you choose to make a potential mate. Listen, I came to the point where I recognized that don't waste time if you're single dating people who do not have the qualities to be a husband. If they're not in position to lead you spiritually, you're wasting your time dating them. Amen. What you need to be looking at, this man, listen, he's got to have a never-ending commitment to family, be faithful to you. Not only he has to be willing to raise his children, but not just raise them spiritually. He has to lead you and your family spiritually. That's what God is calling us men to do. Now, does that mean that man has to have been saved as long as you have or came to Christ as early as you have? No. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But what it means is that he's got to be willing to be able to put his face in this book and study the word of God so that he can know how to lead his family well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says that you husbands must love your wives the same with the same love that Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her. And I want to read a little bit more of that scripture. I just have verse 25 up there, but I want to read verse 26 as well. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. That's spiritual leadership. Our wives need us to be spiritual leaders. Ladies are looking for you to be the spiritual leader in your home. I was just talking to a young person who's potentially getting ready to get married, and they're a believer, and the person they're dating, she's not sure whether he's a believer or not. And I said, listen, how can he lead you spiritually? He's not going to be able to lead you spiritually. A woman needs somebody who's going to be the spiritual leader in their home. So the first need, a never-ending commitment to family, a never-ending commitment to your family. But the next thing that she needs is economic security. She needs to know that the light's going to stay on. She needs to know that you're going to pay if she's the one who writes the checks, that you're going to be able to be the one to make sure that there's money to write the check on. She needs the economic security. I heard somebody the other day was asking me what I do, and I was at my mother's house, and it was a guest there, and she was asking me about the church, and I told her, yes, I still work, and I still see patients. And she says, so you are a real BMW. Y'all don't know, that's a black man working. It's a black man working. What she wants is a black man who's working. She needs a man who's going to provide economic security. Does it mean that he's got to be independently wealthy? No. But it means that he's willing to grind, to do whatever it is necessary so he can take care of his family. Listen, the Bible in 1 Timothy says it. Listen, 1 Timothy 5:18 says, those who won't care for their own relatives, their own family, especially those living in the same household, have denied what we believe. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Another version says, worse than infidels. If you do not provide for your own family, you got to do whatever you need to do to make sure that you take care of your family. A woman needs to know that she has economic security. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 9 says, it's better to be a nobody with a servant than to be self-important and have no food. You know, it's crazy. You see people all the time. You know, all the time. I was in the barbershop yesterday. And we were sitting in there, and I was actually sitting there. I had my laptop, and I was actually working on my sermon in the barbershop, putting some stuff together. And the barber, this is an aside. It's so funny when people know that you're a pastor or you're a Christian, how they change up when you come in the room. So I walked in the barbershop, and, man, the music was pumping and all this stuff, and they were cussing and fussing. And then as soon as I walked in, my barber, I saw him look and told the owner, He said, hey, Pastor, y'all getting a haircut? I said, yeah, we're good. So it's funny, but we're in the barbershop, and the guy walks in, and he has this sweatsuit on, and he's got these tennis shoes on and these sunglasses. And I asked him, how much do you pay for them shoes? About $1,500 for tennis shoes. Sweatsuit costs him about $400, and sunglasses cost him about $500, right? If you don't provide, listen, it's better to be, listen, if you got a servant, than a fool and be self-assured. This man, he got all of this stuff on, but where he's living and his situation is not good. He's not taking care of his needs. He's not taking care of his family like he should be. And I said, brother, stop setting your children up to fail. I had to tell him, young man, you got to make better decisions. It's not about your appearance. But you got to make sure that you are leaving. A wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, the word says. That God is, listen, you got to begin to plan. As a man, what she needs to make sure that you're going to be able to provide for the family. Another thing she needs you to exhibit honesty and openness. She needs you to exhibit honesty and openness. You got to tell her the truth. And that's one thing about our ladies, they got a sense, they know when you're lying. But a woman wants you to be honest, but also to be open. Open means you got to be transparent. You got to let her into your life. That's what she needs. She needs openness and honesty. And this is for our married brothers. I'm here to tell you, this is to try to help you. But listen, if you're a man, young man right here and you're single and you have a hard time letting folks into your life, listen, if you want genuine relationships, you're going to have to be vulnerable. You're going to have to be transparent. The same thing as God. If you want a good, deep relationship with God, you got to be what? Transparent. Pastor Larry Page said, we got to just lay it all open before God. And that's what God is calling you to do as a husband. He wants you to be transparent, be open, be honest with your wife. This is how God feels about those of us who don't tell the truth. The Message paraphrase says it like this in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. God can't stomach liars. He loves the company of those who keep their word. She needs a never-ending commitment to family. She needs you to give her economic security. She needs for you to exhibit honesty and openness. But she also needs deep conversation. She needs deep conversation. What do I mean? She needs conversation. What do I mean by this? We define conversation as verbal attention. She needs you to talk to her, not while you're trying to check your email, not while you're trying to watch the game. To listen to her, and she laughing. You heard her laugh? See, this is a little message. I'm saying this not because I got all this together. Amen? Because all of us go back and forth. Because she knows there are times when she's trying to talk to me, and I'm like, what? Does she recognize the game is on? Like, it's like Final Four, it's March Madness, and you ask me, like, that's inconsiderate that you try to talk to me while I'm trying to watch the football game. But they don't care about that. They need deep conversation. So what it is verbal attention. So when my wife is coming to talk to me while I'm trying to watch the Redskins game or while I'm trying to watch the Wizards or whatever else it is, when I can say, listen, let me turn it off and pay attention, when I can put my phone down and say, what is it, and give her eye contact, what I'm saying that you matter more to me than this game. She needs verbal attention, conversation, not just surface conversation. She needs dialogue. Dialogue. This is one of those things, because sometimes, you know, I don't know about you fellas, sometimes your wife will be talking to you and saying stuff, and you're not responding because you're like, what am I supposed to say? You know, like, you haven't asked me a question, really. I mean, you're talking, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm listening, and you ain't going to say nothing? I'm just listening to what you're saying. I didn't really recognize it was a spot for me that you were, I mean, she wants banter. She wants you to go back and forth. And see, that's one of the things because God has not necessarily wired you naturally that way. But the thing about relationships is what God does, what love does, it does what's in the best interest of the one love. What he's calling us to do is what? Submit to one another, sacrifice, and understand what her needs are. And though that ain't my natural bent, I gotta adjust so that I can meet her what? Needs. So that her emotional tank stays full. Because if I'm not listening, then she goes to work or wherever else she goes, and there's somebody always listening to, man, my husband don't listen to me like that. I wish he would pay attention to me like that. And then what do? You open the door for what we talked about last week, what? The fatal attraction. We got to communicate with our spouses. Philippians chapter 2. Don't think only about your own interests or your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. It means when I treat my wife, I got to have, just like this passage was telling us to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that is like in Christ Jesus. So when I relate to others, my wife, I got to be not only interested about myself, but about her. What is going on in her world? Deep conversation. And then finally, what does she need? This is actually number one. She needs sincere affection. Sincere affection. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, 29. Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. What she needs sincere affection. She doesn't need you just to hug on her as a prelude to sexual intimacy. Hello? She don't need you to be giving her kisses and stuff just because you're trying to get some. Amen. She needs sincere intimacy. She needs you to just come up and say, I just want to hug on you. I just want to love on you. I ain't trying to get nothing out of it. I just want sincere affection. What she needs is, if you ever read Song of Solomon? I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Song of Solomon chapter 4. She needs you to do this to every now and then. The man in Song of Solomon said, "You're beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair falls in waves like a flock of goats winding down slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are as white as sheep, recently shorn and freshly washed. Your smile is flawless, each tooth matched with its twin. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates behind your veil. Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled by the shields of 1,000 heroes. Your breasts are like two fawns, twin fawns of a gazelle, grazing among the lilies." Boy, that sounds like some real, that's some good talk right there. Amen? But listen, but she needs all of that, not so you try to butter her up so you can what? Get some. She just wants sincere affection. Just tell her, "Girl, you are fine. You are beautiful." And just tell, every now and then I'll do that. She'll tell you, I do that every now and then. And she'll look at me like, "What? I'm just saying, you are beautiful." Make you feel uncomfortable every now and then. Because listen, I just want to let you know that God, I am blessed to have you as my wife. Sincere shows of affection. That's what she needs more than anything. And listen, it's so funny because when you look at that, that's why he's calling us to love her as we love our own bodies and take care of our own bodies. That's how I ought to treat her. And if you're not prepared to do that, to love a woman that way, guess what? You got some work to do. Because that's what marriage, that's what it's all about. Sincere affection. What does she need? She needs you to have a never-ending commitment to what? Your family. Not only that, she needs you to make sure that, what was the second thing I gave you? Never ending commitment to family. She needs economic security. Number three. Number four. Deep conversation. Number five. Sincere affection. That's what she needs. Now the question is, ladies, how the brothers doing this morning? Who said that? Now, I didn't ask the brothers to respond. How are we doing with that? And listen, if you're a single male, listen, that's what you need to be striving towards. Yeah, now, the brothers, you can't answer that question. She needs to say, listen, yeah, he's handling his business. And if you are, guess what? Don't ever stop. And if you're single, you need to be striving to put yourself in a position so that you can love a woman and meet these kind of needs. Because guess what? You got to constantly keep the tank full. Just like any vehicle. You drive the vehicle, guess what happens? The gas gets low. So you can't say, listen, I did it good today. Tomorrow, you got to keep the tank full again. You got to constantly keep the tank full. And when you do keep the tank full, then you do not set yourself up for the fatal attraction. All the fellas in the house, let me hear you say, "Oh yeah."
Oh yeah.
Y'all brothers ready? Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12. "Who can find a virtuous woman? She is worth more than precious rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She will not hinder him, but help him all her life." See, man has needs too. A man has needs too. And the key to this thing is making sure it's not about, okay, being fair. If I focus all my attention, not on whether my needs are getting met, but if I focus my attention on making sure that her needs are getting met, and she focuses her attention on making sure his needs are getting met, everything takes care of. But we're so busy looking in the other lane. Well, God said, just take care of what you can handle and what you're called to do. And so this morning, ladies, guess what? He said, you got to know that your husband has needs as well. The first thing, need, the letter N in need is nurturing. He needs nurturing. What do I mean? I'm not just talking about your children, nurturing your children. He needs somebody to help take care of him. Amen. You know, in the book called His Needs, Her Needs, they call it domestic support. He needs, listen, I always say, I don't know how I lived before I got married. I'm serious. I used to, you know, I was single and I used to have my own place. And I'm trying to figure out, how did I function every day? How did I eat every day? What do I mean? She needs you to be, in Titus chapter 2, the woman is called to be the what? The despot, the manager of the home. She is to make sure that she runs that thing. She runs it so that you can go out and do what, so that you can go out and do what you need to do to provide economic security. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We love you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. You see, a mother who lovingly and feeds and cares for her own children. He needs you to take care of, nurture the family, but to nurture him as well. To nurture means to take care of, to feed, to nourish. And your husband needs that. I praise God for that God has given me a wife who sees that, and that's not hard for her to do. I praise God for my mother-in-law. I praise God for my mom, who's been a nurturer for my dad. But I was so happy when I started dating my wife to come into her home. When I used to come into her house, her mother would say, "What you want to eat?" She rolled her eyes because she got mad because all I wanted is oatmeal. I said, "Oatmeal." She like, she gonna give you anything you want. Why are you asking her for oatmeal? Why don't you ask her to cook her some chicken or something? But see, what she was doing is she had trained her daughter. She has three daughters and trained her how to nurture and take care of your husband. And I'm gonna tell you as a witness, my brother-in-laws, both of them here today, can say, guess what? Their wives were taught well to nurture and take care of their family. Amen. I know I'm right about it. So what she needs you, she needs you to be a nurturer. She needs you to be a nurturer. And not only that, does she need that, the next letter is, the letter E is eye candy. He needs eye candy. What do you mean? He needs you to look good, ladies. Amen. Now, you might not look good to anybody else, but you need to look good to him. Did I say you got to look like Halle Berry or whoever? I didn't say all that. What you got to do, but to him, for his eyes only, you got to listen. What he likes, how he likes your hair, what kind of clothes he likes you to wear. You need to find that out, and guess what? Make sure that you put it on. He needs eye candy. Why does he need eye candy? Because he's going out to provide economic security and whatever else, and there's some eye candy at work. Hello? And if he has to leave you every day, your head with a head rag on, and you don't have, you get up, you don't, I mean, come on now. Come on, you got to give the brother something to work with. Like I said, you got to do whatever you can. Listen, my wife and my mom, sometimes they take it extra. Both of them. I'm like, okay, we just going around the corner. I mean, like, you got to go get your nails done to do what? Why you got to do all that? But she knows, listen, and what you got to understand, you got to do it for him, but also for yourself. What he needs is eye candy. Listen, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. When Samuel was looking for a king, he came and God said, listen, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I'm a man. I ain't the Lord. No, he working on me. The Lord is in me, but he said, this is what he said. He didn't say the Lord when he's in you. Look, he said, man looks on the what? So I can't get to the heart till I got to see this first. And I'm just going to here to tell you, though he tell you, don't judge a book by its cover, but I'm here to tell you, I will pick a book up because of the cover. Anybody else with me? Now, when I pick it up, it may not be no good. I'll put it back, but I'm sure we'll pick it up because of the cover design. And I'm here to tell you, ladies, you got to make sure that the cover is tight. That is so important. You know, and I hear people say, listen, looks don't matter. That's fine. Okay, that you say that now. But I'll never forget this story my father told me about the man who married this woman. He's this woman, he married her because she was such a phenomenal voice. And man, she could sing. And he got this woman, he was just overwhelmed by her voice, but her outward appearance wasn't all that great. So one morning he just kind of been enamored by her voice, but the first morning he was with her in the bed with all the makeup off, he looked over and turned over and said, baby, sing to me quick. Appearance matters. Amen? And that's the fact of the matter. Men are visual creatures. Men are visual creatures. Why do you think pornography is such a big deal, big business, such a big problem? Because of what they see. So that's why as a wife, as a woman, you got to make sure that you take care of your visual, the way you dress, how you take care of your body, what you put into your temple. Those are very important. What does he need? He needs nurturing. He needs eye candy. But not only that, he also needs, the next E is, he needs encouragement. He needs you to be his cheerleader. He needs encouragement. He needs someone to cheer. Listen, when you go out into the, it's nothing worse than some fighter going out and fighting and getting beat up in the ring and then come in the corner and the corner man trying to beat him up. But what he needs you to do, even though, listen, you might not necessarily like everything he's doing or agree with where he's going, but you need to encourage him. You need to be his biggest cheerleader. Now, in the book, they talk about you being a recreational companion. He needs you to be his buddy. He needs you to encourage him when he goes out and just want to have fun. Be an encouragement to go out there with him and do things with him, do things together. You know, I had this conversation with a physician I work with, and she was just talking about all the stuff her husband likes to do, and he likes sports, and he likes going to basketball games. And she says, I just tell him, listen, you go with your friends, and I'll be, you know, whatever. That's your thing you like to do, you go do it. And I told her, I said, you know, if you would one day say, listen, can I go to the game with you? It would make his day. Yeah, he can go with his boys, but I'm here to tell you, it's nothing more encouraging than say, listen, you being interested in what he's interested in. Encouraging him. That's what God is calling us to do. To honor, we're going to get to honoring, but to be an encouragement. He's nurturing. He needs you to be eye candy, to take care of your appearance. He needs you to encourage him. But also, the next thing that is closely related to the encouragement, D, he needs you to demonstrate respect. He needs you to demonstrate respect. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 24. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of his body, the church. He gave his life to be her Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. Then if you skip down to verse 33 of Ephesians 5, it says, So I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. He needs you to demonstrate respect for him. I mean, that is so huge. Do not embarrass him. And I mean, you got to show that, listen, that you honor him. And the thing about it is, ladies, if you're single here and you got a man you're dating and it's hard for you to respect him, do not marry him. Because you have to respect him whether you think he's worthy of your respect or not. See, respecting him did not say anything about who he is. It says this is what you are to do regardless of whether you think he's respectable. So if you look at it going in, then listen, I'm going to have a hard time respecting and honoring and encouraging this brother. That means that ain't the right man. And you can't fix him up to be respectable. Ladies, I think, like to do that. They see potential, and I think if I get with him, I can help him be respectable. No, no, no. I heard Charles Stanley say, you marry somebody for who they are, not who you hope they will become. You have to, listen, you got to demonstrate respect for your husband. What do I mean by how does that manifest itself? Listen, when you guys make decisions, you can't just go out there. If your husband, you guys together, you got to have to come to some agreement how you're going to run your family. But if you say, listen, we make a decision that we're not going to do this, you can't say, well, I don't care what he says, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm grown. I make my own money. That doesn't work. That's another thing I just can't understand. When these two money, the bank account here, this is my money and that's his money. That's a whole nother thing. But to say, listen, I don't care what you're doing over here. I make money. I go to work just like you do. I'm going to do my own thing. No, God has called him to be the head of that house. You got to demonstrate respect and honor for your husband. And I'm going to tell you, when you respect him, even when you don't necessarily agree with the decision, guess what? Eventually, he'll begin to make better decisions. Because what that does for him, and that what that does, that endears him to you even more. So what you got to do, you got to nurture him. You got to provide eye candy. You got to look good. You got to be encouraging. You got to demonstrate respect. And the line I'm going to end with is really the first one, sexual fulfillment. See, that's all the brothers in the house say amen. 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 Usually, that's it. That if you read the book, that is the number one need for the man, was sexual fulfillment. Now, and sometimes this varies. There is variation in this. Some people are different. But usually, in a general sense, this is the case. 1 Corinthians, scripture we looked at last week, 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. Nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority of her body to her husband, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. Ladies, he needs sexual fulfillment. That's a part of it. That's a need of his. And what you gotta get your mind around that, because if I don't get my mind around that, what am I doing? He's not only your husband, but he's your brother in Christ. And as a brother in Christ, I don't want to put you in a position for you to fall. So what I got to do, so this is why that thing, and this is where it's so important, brothers, for us to be doing what we need to do to keep her tank full, because what happens is, listen, we got to make sure we're doing what we need to do so that all of the things come together. It's hard for that sexual fulfillment. We make it hard for her on her end when we're not trying to keep her tank full on the other end. But just like I said, his needs have nothing to do, it has nothing to do whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to do or not. So you got to get your mind around that and make sure, like we said last week, that you keep your sexual intimacy in your marriage alive and regular. Whatever is regular for you, you got to find what's regular for you. Amen? For you, regular might be every day. For you, it might be every other day. You got to find what that is. And when you define what that is, guess what? Stay on it. These are things that you talk about in counseling, but we don't talk about in the pulpit all that much. And that's why so many marriages are struggling. And if you don't make it regular and you're not filling that need, what ends up happening is he starts looking outside. Because there's always somebody, like I said last week, who's willing and able to say, look, she ain't doing it. I will. And what that does, that sets you up that fatal attraction. And can destroy, what is it that would say? If you're not faithful to your wife, it destroys your own soul. But that's why we got to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to meet those needs. Amen? Let's look at what a full tank looks like. Let me look at this slide. A full tank, what are her needs? We said her needs are a never-ending commitment for you as a man. You need to have a never-ending commitment to family. Provide her with economic security. Exhibit honesty and openness. Give her deep conversation, sincere affection. His needs, nurturing, eye candy. You just be look good, encourage him, demonstrate respect, and sexual fulfillment. And when we are, both of us are focusing on these things and in line with what God's being and doing what God has called us to do, guess what? We have vibrant marriages. Now, if you're a single person here, listen, you cannot meet his sexual fulfillment needs. So, amen. Let me just say that. If you're single, there's some of these things you can work on beforehand. That's one you can't work on. Amen. That help only can be worked, that need only can be met in the context of marriage. But you can work on being a good listener. You know, you can work on how you look and take care of yourself. And I said being looking good doesn't necessarily mean you got to be sensual and looking, you know what I'm about to say. You don't have to dress like you about a woman of the evening to look like look good for your husband. You need to look good for your husband, not everybody else. Let me say that. Because sometimes you can look good for your husband if it look good, but you got to go out. You can't go outside with that skirt that tight. Amen? Just a little message for us in the church. Because you don't want the brothers in the church to stumble. Amen? So how do you keep up? You got to keep a full tank. And listen, when you keep a full tank, you get an exciting marriage. They said that my video is ready. I just wanted y'all to see this. I wanted you to see how exciting marriage can be and should be. And hopefully this brother today is as excited as he was on the day he got married. Y'all want to show it? Can you show it? All right, go ahead. At some point, there we go. He was excited. I don't know if y'all were that excited on your wedding day. I was. I ain't fall out like that. But I'm here to tell you, when you keep the tank full, you can keep that kind of level of excitement in your marriage. Amen? That's what God is calling us to do, to make sure that we as men, that we keep our wives tank full, making sure that we know what our needs are, that we know what they are. Those, and there can be variation. There's variation in that list. Your wife might be different. Some things might be more important to her than those. But it's your job to find out what those things are and that you go in and try to meet those the best that you can. And the same thing is true for us as husbands. We need to find out, or wives, you need to find out what his needs are and go out and meet those as best you can. And when you do that, we keep our tanks full, and we have marriages that are a witness to the world. Because the ultimate thing is we want to have marriages and relationships that show the world what Christ looks like. See, the whole purpose of the marriage and the whole purpose of us being sanctified single in relationships is so that what we can bring people into the kingdom. That's what it's all about. Because what the media tells us, marriage doesn't work. But when you do it the way Christ has you to do it, you can show people what it does. And then what it does, it gives you a platform to tell them the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's what this thing is all about. Amen? Can we all stand? Can we stand together? His needs, her needs. Making sure you keep the tank full. We talked about the different needs that men have, the different needs that women have. But I'm going to talk about right now, what I want to say is there's one need that all of us have. There's one need that all of us have, and all of us have this need, and this need is to have our sins forgiven. Because the Bible tells us that we're all born sinners. We're all born sinners separated from God because of our sin. That's a need, whether you're a man, woman, boy, and girl, that's a need that you have, and you might not even recognize you had it. But the Bible tells us that we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and it says that the wages of our sin is death. What does that mean? I'm born in sin, which means I just simply have fallen short of God's standard. God is perfect, he's holy, he's righteous, and you and I aren't. And God loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Over these last 4 weeks, we've been talking about relationship. And what God wants to do, he wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you so much that he designed you and created you to love you, and he wants you to live eternally with him. But there's a problem. God is perfect and you and I aren't perfect. God doesn't allow imperfection into his presence. Word of God says that he's light and in him there's no darkness at all. And all of us, our hearts are darkened and tainted with sin. So God said, and I love them too much. I don't want to leave them that way. So what God did, he loved you so much. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, what I'm saying is that God loved you so much and he wants a relationship with you, but the only way that can be possible is that your sin has to be paid for. There has to be a sacrifice that is made for your sin, and you can't die for your own sin. There's nothing that can pay for your sin. The only way your sin can be paid for is if there is a perfect sacrifice, a perfect blood sacrifice. God has established in his word that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And every human being has tainted blood. So God said, in order for your sin to be forgiven, there's got to be a perfect sacrifice. And because God is perfect, God became man. He said he sent his son. God put on flesh. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He lived and he died on a cross, shed his blood so that he could be your sacrifice. He died. He paid the price for your sin. They put him in a grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. He rose. He rose for your justification and my justification. What does that mean? He rose to make it so that just as if I'd never sinned, he took on all of our sin and he paid for it. And now he says, all you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved from your sins. It's that simple. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to give someone an opportunity this morning to receive his forgiveness, to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. I want you to repeat silently after me right where you are. If you say, listen, Pastor Dwayne, I want to have my sins forgiven today. I want to live with God forever. I want to know that when I leave this life, I will live eternity spent with him because he has forgiven me of my sins. If you want that for you, I want you to repeat this after me silently to yourself. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And now today, I ask that Jesus, you would come into my life and my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If that prayer that I just prayed, if you repeated that after me and you were serious and it expressed the desire of your heart, could you raise your hand right where you are so we can talk with you and welcome you into the family of God? Is there one who prayed that prayer this morning after me? And would you raise your hand this morning? Is there one? Is there one who'll come to the Savior this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're a long-suffering God. Lord, your word says you're not slack concerning your promise, but long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I pray, God, that if there's one here today that has to come to you, has yet to come to you, God, continue to speak and minister and to their hearts, Lord, until they yield themselves to you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. now, dear God, we thank you for our couples here. We thank you for our married couples. We thank you for our singles here. And I pray, Lord God, as men, that we will do what is necessary to meet the needs of our spouses, that we'll be the kind of men, Lord God, that are worthy, Lord, for somebody to respect. I pray, Heavenly Father, that for our ladies today, that, Lord God, that they will strive to be that woman in Proverbs 31, that virtuous woman, God, who does good for her family, whose husband praises her in the gates, that industrious woman who owns her own business and, Lord God, does whatever she needs to do to take care and nurture her family. I pray that you'll raise up some of those women in this place today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.